Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our holiday trivia questions come to us from the Seattle Times. Question number one. In the popular song, Dreidel, 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 what is the four-sided toy that children play with at Hanukkah made of? Is it A, whittled wood? B, delicious, delicious latke? Is it C, clay? Or is it D, straw? Dreidel construction. What is that material, anyway? And question number two. Taking into account time zone changes, how many hours does Santa Claus have to deliver his gifts all the way around the world? A math question today. Is it answer A, well, if Santa covers X distance in kilometers over the course of H hours of nighttime, taking into account the variable magical elven powers, then, can someone pass the eggnog? Or is it answer B, Santa does not concern himself with such trivialities? Or is it answer C, well, in some places, such as Germany, Santa delivers his gifts on December 6th, so this is a trick question? Or finally, is it answer D, if Santa were to begin on Christmas Eve on the west side of the international dateline and head west, he would have about 36 hours to deliver his gifts before dawn on December 25. Santa's workday, including overtime? How many hours is that? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of December 17. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1737, that Antonio Stradivari died in Cremona, Italy. He is recognized as the most renowned violin maker in history. 1737 today. And it was 129 years ago today, 1892, you may remember, that Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker publicly premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia. Seems just like yesterday. 1892, today, The Nutcracker. Carol of the Bells introduces our classical music news. It's entitled Lately We've Heard. This is published in WCPE's Quarter Notes, Winter 2021-22 issue. It's entitled Chamber Works by Dmitri Klabanov, and it's put on by the ARC Ensemble. And the review is written by Naomi Lambert. If you love chamber music, this new issue of works by Dmitri Klabanov, 1907 to 1987, is well worth exploring. Klebanoff emerged early as a talented composer, but in Stalin's Soviet Union, being Jewish and proudly Ukrainian were distinct disadvantages. He was soon hampered by political limitations, even preventing performances of his popular First Symphony. For many years, his music conformed to the artistic strictures of life in the Eastern Bloc. The ARC Ensemble of Canada has created a program of chamber works which explore Klebanoff's emergence from state censorship between 1946 and 1965. To open, his String Quartet No. 4 is delightfully melodic work. Immediately familiar is Carol of the Bells, the song played in the background now. Originally a song by Ukrainian Mykola Leonotovich. Next comes the Piano Trio No. 2, written in 1958. Still melodic, the development of themes is more sophisticated and enhanced by the lyrical plane and gorgeous tonality of the ARC ensemble. Finally, String Quartet No. 5 demonstrates the blossoming of Klebanoff's musical voice. The agonies of decades of suppression are evoked in the opening movement. Strident harmonies and darker tonalities replace the sweet folk tunes of Quartet No. 4. Klebanoff has plenty to say, and released from the restrictions of a repressive regime, these chamber works reveal his mature voice. Kudos to the ABC Ensemble for a beautiful performance and for seeking out lesser-known works by neglected but worthy talents from last century.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, introduces our jazz music news. This is written by Danny Friedman, published in Smithsonian Magazine, December 2021. It's entitled Satchmo and Santa, a jazz legend's final recording. This is Louis Satchmo Armstrong, the voice resounds, talking to all the kids from all over the world at Christmas time. With that, the trumpeter and singer tucks into a lyrical, buoyant reading of The Night Before Christmas. He hews to the words but makes them his own in a voice that glitters with joy. When the 69-year-old describes Santa's little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly, he breaks into a wheezy giggle that sounds like a truck rumbling to life at a green light. The poem, first published in 1823, would be Armstrong's final commercial recording. Armstrong taped it on February 26, 1971, on a reel-to-reel recorder at his home in Queens, New York, during his last spell of good health.
What a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.
Four days later, he began an ill-advised two-week gig at the Waldorf Astoria that was followed by two heart attacks, one of them just 2 days after his final Waldorf show. On July 6th, Armstrong died in his sleep, reportedly from heart failure. The recording was distributed that holiday season by a cigarette maker, which pressed it onto a million 45 RPM records as giveaways for anyone who bought one of their cartons of cigarettes. Despite its undeniable charms, the track is not a Yuletide staple and has gotten little attention in biographies where scholars have been busy on other questions. All have struggled to take the full measure of Armstrong. First, he was the brash young genius who redefined jazz. Then, in middle age, a humble colossus who lived to entertain but was stung by jazz purists and some in the black community who accused him of buffoonery at the expense of art and activism. Later, at 63, he bumped the Beatles from number one in 1964 with his version of the show tune, Hello, Dolly. But The Night Before Christmas shows how his unique expressiveness reached beyond music. Armstrong had one voice. He had one style. Whether blown, spoken, or written, says Ricky Riccardi, the author of two Armstrong biographies and director of research collections at the Louis Armstrong House Museum in Queens. All of his ways of telling a story feature this same kind of totally swinging voice. Though a few monologues appear on his studio albums, the Christmas poem is a closer kin to the homespun readings that pepper some 700 reels of tape that Armstrong recorded for himself. Amid taped conversations and trumpet noodling, there's a heartfelt 1958 rendition or recitation of the Gettysburg Address. These tapes, Riccardi says, show that Armstrong's stage presence was actually lust, his natural presence, rich with sincerity and a sense of delight. In that way, the Christmas recording makes for an accidental but fitting coda to his life. It's a track that Riccardi recalls one last gift from Armstrong, even though it doesn't involve a single musical note, only a voice warming the silence around it. A choral rendition of Pachelbel's Canon introduces our music research and technology. It's entitled By the Numbers 136. This is published in Spry Living, December 2021 issue. 136, that's about the number of calories you can burn with an hour of Christmas caroling this season. Research has long shown the benefits of singing in groups, including relieving stress, improving lung function, boosting your mental health, and making spirits bright. Wonder, Sir Duke introduces our musical gifts news. It's written by Mark Kennedy, Associated Press, on November the 11th, 2021, entitled Striking a Chord, a Selection of Some Music-Themed Gifts. Music-related gifts are an easy choice this holiday season. Everyone likes music, right? Here are some outstanding record collections for lovers of rap, metal, and pop, a pair of fascinating books, and some clothes that help musicians in need. On book notes, Music is History by Questlove is both very personal and sweepingly grounded in the historical. One of the most fascinating music-based books of the year, The Roots' five-time Grammy-winning producer and drummer picks one song per chapter from 1971 to 2001 and lets his encyclopedic mind fly, explaining the tune in its context, reaching back to its influences, connecting to its influencers, and exploring pop culture and U.S. history. It's a tour de force. Take 1976, which highlights Stevie Wonder's Sir Duke, the song playing in the background now, then spotlights Duke Ellington and connects it all to Richard Nixon, the Republican Party, and the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Cost $30. The Monkees' 1967 Cuddly Toy introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Michael Nesmith, Monkees singer-songwriter, dead at 78. Published in Rolling Stone magazine by Andy Green, December the 10th, 2021. Monkees singer and guitarist Michael Nesmith, a pop visionary who penned many of the group's most enduring songs before laying the groundwork for country rock with the First National Band in the early 70s, died Friday from natural causes. He was 78. Nesmith was known as the monkey in the green wool hat with the thick Texas drawl. He raged behind the scenes that the group didn't have creative control of its albums, and in 1967 led the successful rebellion against record producer Don Kirshner. Before he even joined the Monkees, Nesmith wrote a breakup song called Different Drum. The Monkees producer said to him, "That's not a Monkees song." Michael said, "Wait a minute, I am one of the Monkees." He gave it to Linda Ronstadt, and the rest is history. Nesmith said he was never quite sure the Monkees, who were formed by TV producers, were actually a real band. Is this a band? Is this a television show? When you go back to the genesis of this thing, it is a television show because it has all those traditional beats. The Monkees launched a farewell tour earlier this year and played their final show at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles on November the 14th. La, 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 la.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we just stop trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late.
Carol King's It's Too Late from her 1971 Tapestry album introduces this. Turn Up the Music, a two-part documentary about the story of A&M Records. This is published in Parade magazine by Walter Scott, December the 5th, 2021. In Mr. A and Mr. M, the story of A&M Records, released today on Epics, you can rock to the groovy story of Jerry Moss, Herb Albert, and the creation of A&M Records, the iconic label powerhouse that helped shape and propel the careers of dozens of pop and rock superstars. These LPs are just some of the A&M's greatest hits. There's Carole King's Tapestry from 1971, the song of which is playing in the background now. Cat Stevens' Tea for the Tillerman, 1970. Sting's The Dream of the Blue Turtles, 1985. The Carpenters' Close to You, 1970. Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together, 1975. The Police, Synchronicity, 1983. Joe Crocker, Mad Dogs and Englishmen, 1970. Peter Frampton, Frampton Comes Alive, 1976. Herb Albert, Rise, 1979. Burt Bacharach, 1971. Supertramp, Breakfast in America, 1979. Quincy Jones, The Dude, 1981. Janet Jackson, Control, 1986. And Sheryl Crow, Tuesday Night Music Club, 1993, to mention just a few. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question in the popular song, Dreidel, 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 what is the four-sided toy that children play with that Hanukkah made out of? Is it A, whittled wood? B, delicious, delicious latke? Is it C, clay, or D, straw? Correct answer. Answer C, claw. Clay, I'm sorry. Haley Edwards notes in the Seattle Times, the chorus from that song is, "Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, now dreidel we shall play." A dreidel is a small four-sided spinning top with a Hebrew letter on each side, used in a children's game traditionally played at the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, frequently spelled with a silent C as the first letter, is an eight-day commemoration of the miracle of light that ended December 6th this year. As noted in Stephanie's Osmaski's article, Celebrate the Festival of Lights with the 25 Catchiest Hanukkah Songs, Parade Magazine, November 28, 2021. Who says there are more Christmas songs than Hanukkah songs? Sure, Jingle Bell Rock and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and other festive tunes may dominate radio play, but don't think for a second that Hanukkah doesn't have some serious hits. With 8 nights of celebration, that's 192 straight hours of latkes, kugel, and Jewish jams. From the classic Hanukkah songs to contemporary tunes with some of today's most popular singers and rappers, here are some of those 25 dreidel-stopping Hanukkah songs to play. Perhaps one of the most well-known Hanukkah songs, even among those who don't celebrate the holiday, is the Hanukkah song by the one and only Adam Sandler. Nowadays, it's a staple on the radio come December, but millennials and Gen Z may not know the origin of this song and its many sequels. Sandler originally performed a version of the song during a Weekend Update segment of Saturday Night Live in 1994. It only took Sandler an acoustic guitar and a whole lot of feedback in the form of laughter from the live audience for this ditty to become an instant classic. Most of us know the Bare Naked Ladies for their brash humor and silent auction-esque ability to recite lyrics at an unbelievably rapid pace. But did you know that BL also penned Hanukkah Blessing for their album Bare Naked for the Holidays? The band's singer, Stephen Page, got emotional and genuine when reflecting on the Festival of Lights and was reportedly inspired by children to write this Hebrew holiday hit. In a decidedly less corny and altogether more folky approach to Sandler's The Hanukkah Song, Neil Diamond is known to his fans as the Jewish Elvis, and he's the son of Jewish immigrants. He lends his Brooklyn-born attitude, charm, and a notable ad-lib to his track. Light One Candle by Peter, Paul, and Mary is, by contrast, a traditional Hanukkah song that will never go out of style. Not entirely a Hanukkah song, but definitely worth noting for its standout lyrics that reference one of the holiday's most famous symbols, the dreidel. American Pie singer Don McLean debuted this hit in the early 70s, and it quickly rose on the pop chart. McLean sings, "I feel like a spinning top or a dreidel. The spinning don't stop when you leave the cradle." And some actually believe that this hit was inspired by his time spent living in the kibbutz. Re-recorded by Haim, If It Will Be Your Will, the song for the 2019 compilation album Hanukkah Plus. The track was originally sung and released by Leonard Cohen in 1984. Brooklyn-based alternative rock band They Might Be Giants released a five-song EP called Holiday Land in 2001, on which Feast of Lights seems to be a standout track. After all, the guitar and accordion-led ditty is all about children and siblings being nice to each other during the festival, or, in this case, Feast of Lights. As is the deal with most popular Hanukkah songs, I'm Spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by Tom Lehrer feels mostly satirical, but even still, it's a fine song for the backdrop of the Festival of Lights. It's cute, catchy, and kitschy. And the answer to our second question, the math question, from the latest version of SAT exams. Taking into account time zone changes, how many hours does Santa Claus have to deliver his gifts all the way around the world? Is it A, well, if Santa covers X distance in kilometers over the course of H hours of nighttime, taking into account the variable magical elven powers, then can someone pass the eggnog? Or is it B, Santa does not concern himself with such trivialities? Or is it C, well, in some places, such as Germany, Santa delivers his gifts on December 6th, so this must be a trick question? Or D, if Santa were to begin on Christmas Eve on the west side of the international dateline and head west, he would have about 36 hours to deliver his gifts before dawn on December 25. Correct answer, well, as Haley Edwards notes in the Seattle Times, the correct answers are, of course, answer B, Santa does not concern himself with such trivialities, and answer D, about 36 hours. Anyway, get ready, be good, because, as Gene Autry reminds us, here he comes.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
Santa Claus knows we're all God's children. That makes everything right. So fill your hearts with Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus.